Our New Testament reading today is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, reading from chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. Jesus said, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." This is the word of God. Amen. It's the first day of December, and suddenly the signs of Christmas are all around us. As if out of nowhere, Christmas decorations have appeared. After 11 months of silence, the first strains of Christmas music have started to reach our ears. Everywhere we turn, people are talking about Christmas and their plans for celebrating it. Christmas is almost here. But for now, we can still emphasize the word almost. Christmas is coming, but it hasn't quite arrived. It's just around the corner, but it's not here yet. We still have to wait. In the church, we have a special name for these days just before Christmas. This season, when Christmas is very close, but not quite here, is called Advent. Advent means arrival or coming. That may sound like we are thinking about how Christmas is coming. But actually, in Advent, what we are thinking about is the coming of Christ into the world. This is an important thing for us to think about in these days before Christmas, because it brings us to the very center of what Christmas is all about. At Christmas, we're not just celebrating the birthday of a famous man like Shakespeare or Mozart. At Christmas, we are celebrating the astonishing fact that God himself came into our world in the person of Jesus. But before we start into all our celebrating, we pause in Advent to remember why it is so necessary for Jesus to come into our world. Advent reminds us that Jesus' arrival in the world was something that the world desperately needed. The world as we know it is a broken place. It still has its moments of beauty, the remnants of the glorious creation that God made and pronounced good. But the beauty of God's original creation has been horribly scarred by the sin of the human race. Instead of being a perfect paradise, the world has fallen into a sad and sorry state, marred by all kinds of bad things that go against the will of God. Violence and greed are everywhere. hatred and deceit are considered normal, and death and destruction seem to be in control. This has been going on for a long time. Even way back in the days of the Old Testament, people were hoping and praying that things would change. They were hoping for God to act. They were praying for God to come and fix everything that was wrong in the world. They had a dream of a world in which swords would be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. A world in which nations would no longer take up the sword against each other, neither would they train for war anymore. The people of God imagined a world in which evil and violence would be replaced by justice and peace. They longed to see this new world arriving in their midst. And they knew that this could only happen if God did it. God had created the world, and only God could repair the world in such a fundamental way. In the days of the Old Testament, people were waiting for God to send the Messiah. They believed it was through this Messiah that God would fix everything that needed to be fixed. They wanted a Messiah who would do God's work on earth and put right everything that was wrong. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of this Messiah. We celebrate that one day, 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus into the world. God did this because it was the only way the world could be saved. The only way the world could be saved was if God came right into the world and acted to fix everything that was wrong. But the surprising thing about this Messiah, Jesus, is that he didn't come into the world as a powerful king. Instead, he came into the world as a baby, born in a stable. And when he grew up, he didn't take charge of a mighty army. Instead, he died on a cross, put to death between two criminals. He did this because it was God's will to save the world through love, not force. Jesus was God's gift of love to the world. Through Jesus, God's pure and infinite love was made visible on earth. God wants to fill the whole world with this love. One day that will happen. One day the love of God is going to rule the whole world. And when that day arrives, the world will be put right once and for all. Only God can make this happen. And Jesus promises us that it will happen. Jesus has now gone back to heaven, but he promises us that he is going to return. That will be his second coming. And when he returns, he's going to return in glory. When he returns, he's going to complete what he started during his first coming. When he returns, he's going to make everything perfect. He's going to put everything the way God wants it to be. At this point in time, we stand in the middle of the two comings of Jesus. Between the first coming of Jesus in his birth in Bethlehem and his second coming at the end of time. It is this in-between moment that is on our minds during the season of Advent. In Advent, we look back at Jesus' birth and give thanks, and we also look ahead to Jesus' return and feel hope. But standing in the middle is not always the easiest thing to do. We are deeply glad about everything God has done for us in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. But we also know that God's plan for the world is not yet complete. God's love does not yet prevail in every corner of our world. We still see governments that kill their own people. We still see terrorism taking innocent lives. We still see hatred and division, violence and destruction, suffering and death. We long for this to change. We long for everything that's wrong to be put right. Until that happens, we have to wait. Waiting is never easy. And what makes our waiting even more difficult is that we do not know how long we will have to wait. If you're waiting for a bus these days, there's an electronic sign that tells you how long it will be before the next bus arrives. That doesn't make the bus come any quicker, but somehow it eases our stress to know how long our wait is going to be. But as we wait for Jesus to return, we do not know how long it is going to be. God does not tell us. Jesus says nobody knows about that day or hour, nobody except God the Father himself. Since the day Jesus ascended to heaven, his followers have been waiting for him to return. It's almost 2,000 years later, and we are still waiting. I have yet to meet anyone who likes to wait. When we wait, it means that something is out of our control. There's nothing we can do to make it happen sooner. No matter what we do, we can't speed it up. That's a frustrating feeling, because we like being in control in our lives. When we wait, we feel powerless. When we wait, we feel that we are completely dependent on someone else. But when we are waiting for God, that is exactly how we are supposed to feel. When we are waiting for God, we are reminded that it is God who is in control. When we are waiting for God, we are shown that there are definite limits to our power. When we are waiting for God, we discover that we are indeed completely dependent on God. The experience of waiting for God teaches us many important things. Above all, it teaches us that God is God and we are not. As we wait for Jesus to return, the question for us is not, when is it going to happen? The question is, how should we wait? It's clear from what Jesus tells us that there is a right way of waiting. Jesus says that when we wait, we should keep watch. He says that his return is going to happen suddenly and unexpectedly. We're not going to get any warning. It's going to happen whether we are ready or not, and it's better that we be ready. The type of waiting Jesus wants us to do is not the same thing as doing nothing. Jesus wants us to do active waiting. This is the waiting of people who know what the future is going to bring and who want to live right now as if part of that future has already arrived. Waiting for the second coming involves a strange mixture of patience and impatience. We're patient in that we know that we have to wait for God to act according to his time. We can't force God to speed things up just because that's what we want. But if we are patient in the way we wait for God's timing, We are not patient about the conditions we see in the world around us. We are impatient in that we are not content to settle for the way things are now. We are impatient because we want things to change for the better. When Martin Luther King thought about the evil and racist government in Alabama in the 1960s, he found himself getting very frustrated when he heard people saying it was necessary to be patient. One evening at a gathering of fellow civil rights activists, he said, "For many years we have shown an amazing patience. We have sometimes given our white brothers the feeling that we liked the way we were being treated. But we come here tonight to be saved from that patience that makes us patient with anything less than freedom and justice." What Martin Luther King was pointing out is that patience can never be an excuse for doing nothing. As followers of Jesus, we do not sit idly by when we see injustice. As followers of Jesus, we do not turn the other way when we see suffering. As followers of Jesus, we do not keep silent when the truth needs to be spoken. As followers of Jesus, we do not walk away when freedom is being stolen. As followers of Jesus, we act in Jesus' name to uphold the values of God's kingdom. We are very impatient with anything less than the peace and justice of God. When Jesus ascended to heaven 40 days after his resurrection, he did not tell his disciples to do nothing until he came back. Instead, he sent them into all the world to spread the message of God's love and to give the world a glimpse of the future that God has promised to bring. Jesus wanted them to live as if that future had already arrived, which for them it had, because they had experienced for themselves the love and power of God. Like the disciples, we too have a lot to do while we are waiting for Jesus to return. Every day we have the opportunity to share the love of God with other people. Every day we have the opportunity to show the world what God's justice and peace look like. Every day we have the opportunity to live as people who belong to the future God has promised to bring. In the season of Advent, we stand in the middle, between Christ's first coming and his second coming. But even as we look back to Jesus' birth and look ahead to Jesus' return, we also remember that Christ is not just a fond memory from the past and a bright hope for the future. He is also with us right now. He is with us to walk beside us through our times of discouragement and waiting. He is with us to bear us up when we think we do not have the strength to go on. And he is with us in our hearts to fill us with peace and joy. We should always be ready. We should always keep watch, because at any moment of any day, Christ can come into our lives suddenly and unexpectedly to touch us with the love and power of God. We know there is still more to come. But even now, while we wait, we can know that Christ is with us to bless us on our way. Amen. Let us pray. O God, be with us as we prepare our hearts to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Lead us ever deeper into the truth of your merciful love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.